Good afternoon. I want to thank everybody for joining us today to talk about and commemorate and celebrate the life of Mary Gay Taylor. And also, I guess for those of us who work in this building, to particularly remember and celebrate the times of her life that she spent here with all of us in city government. And I want to first thank the guys in the radio room, Rich and Stan and the other folks in radio, who when I went down to visit them a couple of days after Mary Gay had died, they had mentioned that they wanted to do a memorial. And I suggested we do it in the chambers. And they were nice enough to agree to do it here in the council chambers. And it means a lot to all of us in the chambers that you're having this event here, because she was a very prominent and constant force in this building, and particularly right over there in the tables where we usually relegate the press to. So we're glad that we that you've honored us by choosing this venue to hold her memorial. I just want to particularly welcome Mary Gay's family who's here, Dr. Peggy Boyle, Betsy Wall, Garrett Wall, her nephew William, her cousin Chip, and I also want to say that we all know that Mary Gay's mother, who is 96 and in Connecticut, Marion Taylor, would have liked to be here with us today but can't, and that we'll all be thinking of her as well. You know, I first met Mary Gay Taylor when I was working as a staff member to Tom Duane. And it was an unfortunate situation that Mary Gay lived in Tom's district. And so for those of you who are reporters, not elected officials, it is never a good thing when you find out that a reporter lives in your district, because you're constantly afraid that their neighbor will have called and you might not have called back right away or something like that. And then it was even the worst situation that Mary Gay had a neighborhood issue she was concerned about, the substation, which I can't, on 16th Street. And I remember running to Tom and saying, "Oh my God, Mary Gay Taylor cares about the substation. We have to get more all over it than we already are." And Tom said, "Don't worry, she's fair. She won't be inappropriate," and she wasn't at all in her attention to it or her coverage of the issue. You know, when I first started working at City Hall as a chief of staff, Mary Gay wasn't by far the only woman in the press corps, but there weren't nearly as many women in Room 9 then, and there were far less when she started as a real pioneer in radio, when it was really very challenging to get on-air jobs. And when I first started, well, not when I first started in City Hall, but not long after I started working here, she quickly became the dean of the delegation. And I remember being very impressed as a well, not that much younger, but somewhat younger woman working at City Hall, and that there was a woman reporter who was such a clearly prominent force in Room 9. And I remember being struck by that and thinking that it must not have been easy to be in that position, because although now Room 9 is a bastion of civility and no discrimination at all, but it was clear to me that that might not always have been the case. But she was, in addition to being a trailblazer and an example for me and other women in government, it was always clear to me she was the best thing you could say about a reporter fair, and that she always allowed you to make your side of the case, make your side of the story to her, and would never rush or jump to conclusions, which is all any of us in government can ask of a reporter. She was tough in my memory, though. I mean, I was a little afraid of Mary Gay Taylor. She was tough and always tried to get, Skylar's shaking his head, yes. So it wasn't just me who was afraid. She was scary because she was tough and she knew the facts, and you weren't going to, not that we ever would, but attempt to BS your way around her. It wasn't going to happen. But for me as a new staff member, that was a good lesson to learn, and she was a kind person in teaching that lesson to me. I think on behalf of all of us in the city council, we want to really extend to her family our deepest condolences. You know, when the folks in the radio room told us about her struggles and how valiant she had been in her struggle against cancer, and when we had a moment of silence for her at the beginning of a stated meeting, it was very important, we were told, that we say exactly what she had died of and exactly the nature of her death from cancer, and that she wanted it made very clear that her struggle wasn't one that was limited, sadly, to her life alone, and that she wanted her struggle and her life and her death to stand as a challenge to all of us in public life to keep the battle up against cancer, and for all of us to take that on personally in ways that we could relate it to our own prevention and our own health. And I just hope you and her family know we have all taken note of that and will keep that in our minds and keep that present in our work here at City Hall. And just finally, before I call on the next speaker, unfortunately, former Mayor David Dinkins is teaching a class today and couldn't be with us, but asked me to read a letter to everyone. Family, friends, and colleagues of Mary Gay Taylor, this has been a tough year for members of the Fourth Estate and their admirers. We have lost some of the brightest minds and sharpest wits in the business of political journalism. Dennis Dugan, Ellen Willis, Gerald Boyd, Ed Bradley, and so many others. And now we have lost one of the most extraordinary members of the New York community of journalists, Mary Gay Taylor. Joyce and I join with you in mourning her passage and are saddened that circumstances prevent us from being with you today to celebrate her life. We have a lot to remember about Mary Gay, who she was, what she has meant to us, what she did for her profession and for this city, and of course, the way she went about gathering and reporting the news of this city she loved, with such great good humor, honesty, accuracy, and integrity. Even on those days when I'd rather have had bamboo shoots under my nails than face the City Hall press corps, I could always find some comfort in the smiling face and gracious manner of Mary Gay Taylor. Mary Gay had a real connection with the subjects of her reporting, and as we knew that she could be counted on to deal with difficult issues and circumstances with good judgment, fairness, and grace, that was her character. She helped to bring the highest standards to her City Hall beat and, by her example, set the bar even higher for future generations of reporters. Through her feisty spirit, her dogged persistence, and her steadfast unwillingness to compromise the truth, she made a difference in many lives, and we are all the richer for her investment. She will be missed. David N. Dinkins, 106th Mayor of the City of New York. And I now want to call on another former mayor of the City of New York, somebody else who had the honor and privilege and sometimes challenge, I would assume, as we all have, of being reported on by Mary Gay Taylor, Mayor Ed Koch.
Thank you. 105th. What the speaker has said and what David Dinkins said subsequently is what I'm basically saying, because that, as described, is who she was. She was gentle in her personal relationships and fierce in carrying out her professional obligations as a City Hall reporter. It has never been easy for women to participate in the news business with men who were wearing their fedoras and Burberry raincoats and viewing themselves as foreign correspondents. Yet for more than 30 years, Mary Gay moved among that crowd like a female Muhammad Ali. She would float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. Mary Gay, always with a recorder in hand, covered my mayoralty for 12 years. Her manner was gentle, but her questions were piercing, cutting immediately to the chase. You couldn't push her around. You couldn't bamboozle her with a rant. She could separate the gold from the tinsel. Her reports on air were comprehensive. They were insightful. They were humorous when humor was appropriate. Whatever she did with flair and class, including her appearances on stage at the Inner Circle. They were wonderful. I was interviewed countless times by Mary Gay at City Hall. Never once during those 12 years could I have complained about her lack of fairness. Never once could I have complained about her accuracy or her conclusions as she told the story on air to millions of people. Mary Gay Taylor was special. She was the best. She is missed. Thank you.
Next, we're going to hear from, I may have not said the mayor's number, but 105, but we're going to be clear on this number, the first speaker of the New York City Council, Peter Vallone Sr.
I used to say I was the best speaker in the history of the City Council because I was the only speaker at that time. Now we have been surpassed. A little different memory that I have of Mary Gay, not to repeat what everyone else said, which is absolutely true. I think the media understands that any elected official or any aspiring elected official will do almost anything to get his or her name on maybe on the radio or the face on television. That's their story of life. But there's been something special about a series of media people here in Room 9, City Hall. I learned a lot about government and politics from people like Steve Flanders and Doug Edelson, and today, just about everybody in this room. But there's something about Mary Gay that separated her from all of the wonderful reporters and media people that I have had the pleasure of serving with. And that was her total innocence. She was just like a child when it came to doing the right thing and doing good. I never felt threatened by Mary Gay. I was never worried that if I said the wrong word, that somehow or another that would become the story. Every time I saw Mary Gay, as against any other reporter, because I always felt the reporter was doing me a favor to interview me, and many times that was true. They would seek me out because they had a deadline or something like that. And I always felt obligated to the reporter, whoever it was. But with Mary Gay, somehow she turned that around. She thanked me for the interview. She was grateful to the person that she was interviewing, which is totally unlike any other arrangement or situation. She always made me feel good every time she interviewed me. I never was worried about having to run to my press relations person, what is this interview about? She always went right up front saying, this is what I want to talk to you about. This is the situation. Have you got a minute? She was always rushed, incidentally, because there was a deadline, always. She was always breathless and she was always rushed. And that's the things I remember. That's what makes her so special in my mind. Her total innocence, her total, as the mayor said and as Chris said, her total devotion to the truth. You could not, in any manner, shape, or form, with Mary Gay, tell something that wasn't absolutely accurate. And so when I spoke to Mary, it was like speaking to my own sister, someone that I didn't have to worry about, that somehow I was going to be hurt by some misword or something that perhaps wasn't exactly on target. Mary Gay would stop the machine, she said, do you really want to say that? I said, no, I guess not. Play it back. Let me hear it. I'll say something else. But that was Mary Gay. That is Mary Gay. I think like Doug and like Steve, two real giants, some of you might remember that I was never in favor of changing street names, and it was always a very difficult chore. The one that I did do was for Steve Flanders at the entrance of City Hall. Because I think he and Doug set the standards that Mary and Richard and Stan and so many others in this room live by. But my gratitude is always to the woman who made me feel so special every time she came to me. God bless you, Mary. Your spirit will live on forever here.
Next, we're going to hear from Deputy Mayor Ed Schuyler.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. And I want to thank the Speaker for allowing us to have this memorial in the City Council. When we all heard of Mary Gay's passing, everybody wanted to know when's the service going to be. And thank you for allowing everybody to get together in honor of Mary Gay. I think it says a lot about her and her legacy and her professionalism that you have representatives or the principals from every mayoral administration, Koch, Dinkins, Giuliani, and some other guy, as well as the speakers, Speaker Vallone, Representative Speaker Milhorn, the current speaker. And it talks a lot about how much she meant to everybody that worked with her. I had the privilege of working with her over two different administrations, and we're familiar with the cliche of journalism being the first draft of history, and radio broadcast in some senses the first draft of journalism. And I remember going to Staten Island College for a press conference that Mayor Giuliani had, and riding back in the press van with Mary Gay. In the press van, for those of you who have never experienced this this wonder of the world, can be an interesting place, and lots of conversations and arguments and debates, and radio is blaring and people sometimes discussing things and what was said and what wasn't said and what it meant or what didn't it mean, and all the implications that you could or could not draw from what did or did not happen. And I was sitting in the back row, and we just left them, and we were getting onto the Staten Island Expressway, and while everybody was debating things, Mary Kay was sitting there with her tape recorder and her microphone and speaking quietly with the microphone close up to her mouth, and she was filing her story from what Mayor Giuliani had just said a couple minutes earlier. And we kept rolling along, and a little while later, she shushed the whole press van and just said, "Quiet," which was not very like her. She wasn't the type to, you know, take over a conversation or take over a room, but she shut everybody up, and everybody looked. And she goes, "Turn it up." And the press van driver turns up the radio, and he had CBS on, and her story was airing. And we hadn't even gone on the Verrazano Bridge yet. That was the way she worked. It was about the job, and she asked a lot of questions, and sometimes, not with me, obviously, I'm not all patients, but with other people, sometimes we would, "Come on, why are you asking me?" But the reason she did it is because she wanted to get it right, and she cared about her profession, she cared about the public service, she cared about the city, and I heard she died of breast cancer. What I didn't realize was she survived breast cancer for 21 years, and I certainly have, you know, worked with her for almost 8 or 9 years. I had no idea that she'd been ill, and I really like to think that, as opposed to her dying of breast cancer, that she survived breast cancer. And it just, I guess, it's just one more way she amazes people that were around her. And I'm grateful for knowing her and having worked with her, and on behalf of Mayor Bloomberg, I want to extend his sympathies to her. Mary Kay's family, and we will all miss her very much. Thank you.
Next, I want to call up Sonny Mandel, the former communications director for Mayor Giuliani.
I have a letter from the former mayor who couldn't be here today. And it reads, "Dear friends, I'd like to extend my warmest greetings to the family, to her friends, colleagues who are gathered here this afternoon to honor the memory of Mary Gay Taylor, who recently passed away after courageously and quietly fighting a valiant battle with breast cancer. Her vivacious spirit, her tenacity, her drive, and her commitment to journalism will never be forgotten by those who had the pleasure of knowing her. Personally, I will always remember her courage and bravery on September 11th, 2001. She wasn't deterred by the scene that lay ahead of her, but rather she rushed to the World Trade Center to cover the attack, and having very narrowly escaped with her life, she managed, of all things, to calmly report on the air, with the dust still in her hair, the facts of the story. Her dedication to her work is a testament to her strength of character. Her journalism legacy will be remembered, as will the generosity of her spirit and her heart. Mary Gay's drive and her commitment to accuracy will be an example to all those in her profession for many years to come. You will all be in my thoughts and prayers this afternoon as you gather to pay tribute for such an exemplary woman. And now from me. A lot has been said about Mary Gay. What else can you say? Well, you can say that the singular most dangerous place to be in City Hall was between Mary Gay and a story. Forget it. No matter where you were, she had the tape recorder over her shoulder. If she was in the ladies' room, she would knock you out. She'd swing around and She didn't carry the little ones. She had the ones with the big D-cell batteries. I mean, nobody could mug her. She could just kill him with the tape recorder. You all know that she was tenacious. You all know how driven she was. Irene Cornell, where are you? I mean, Irene can talk about how driven and how competitive she could be, and sometimes trying to beat Irene on the air with the same story for the same station. So you know she was tenacious, you know she was relentless, and you know she was quietly courageous. And did you know this woman could make coffee nervous? When she was on to something, she was on to it. She was like a dog with a bone. She really was. And everybody, I think, in this room knows that about her. She's probably still filing somewhere right now. She said, I'll be back. I'm going to file. I just got to get one thing right. Was it 2,722 or was it 2,721.5? I just want to get it right. And that was important to her. But equally important to her, I got to know Mary Gay because I sat next to her, these many years ago when I was a reporter and then from City Hall. But she had another side to her, and that side was in Vermont with her family. I shared with her a love of dogs. I used to be regaled with the stories of her chasing through Vermont after Boomer. I don't know if any of you knew that. And her love of dogs was so great that she and another reporter, who shall remain nameless, it was Lisa Colangelo of Daily News, decided that an abandoned wolf-sized hound on the side of the Queens Expressway needed to attend a City Hall press conference in Queens. So, against all policy rules, it is very dangerous to just take a stray and put it in a van of seven reporters. It's a wolf-sized animal, they don't know anything about it. Mary Gay and the reporter who shall remain nameless, Lisa Colangelo, had to put this animal in the van. Great. Now, at first I was a little disturbed, and then I thought, a wolf-sized stray dog, New York City press corps, Queens Expressway en route. Could work. It could work. Anyway, we finished our business, and we had a press. I don't remember even what the issue was, because the sole issue of the press conference became, Sonny, you have to get a home for the dog. What? No, I don't. You guys broke the rules. You know. Yeah, well, you're in charge. So that afternoon, it became my responsibility to coordinate the various agencies to make sure this wolf-sized dog with God knows what bugs coming out of its ears received a home. But that was her dedication. She was filing a story, and I'm calling animal shelters. What's wrong with this picture? But, you know, that was Mary Gay. She could do that. She could be filing the story and calling me about finding a dog a home. I worked with her during a period where she knew about her illness and she didn't tell anybody. And I knew about it and she swore me to secrecy. And how could you not give a woman that? And she wanted to continue and to be treated as any other member of the New York City press corps would be, which meant, you know, getting in a scrum, chasing around. I used to beg her, please don't carry that heavy tape recorder on your shoulder. You'll hurt yourself. Not Mary Gay. She told me, I want to be treated just like everybody else. I said, okay, then get out of my office. She will be missed, her legacy as a woman, as somebody who quietly and ever so courageously, and I must tell you, she knew that she had a health issue on September 11th in 2001. I don't know how many of you knew that. I suspect perhaps not many did, and there she went into that mess, already knowing that her life was at risk before she even left her home that morning, just by carrying that damn tape recorder. But she went. And for me and for Rudy, and when Rudy was diagnosed with cancer, she was very kind to him, too. We both will always remember that, and I'm sure everybody in here has their very select and personal, special memory of Mary Gay Taylor. Thanks.
There's a number of dignitaries with us today that I just want to recognize before we go on. We have some we've already heard from, but we have former Deputy Mayor Joe Loda from the Giuliani administration. We have Colleen Roach, the former press secretary to Mayor Giuliani, Christine Nicholas, the former communications director for Mayor Giuliani, the former parks commissioner, Henry Stern. We also have a number of executives and staff from CBS News. We have Tim Scheld, Chris Quinby, Steve Swenson, Irene Cornell, who we're going to hear from. We have many of our Room 9 folks here, city agency press officers are here. And next, we're going to hear from one of the other WCBS staff people, Rich Lamb.
Thanks for the opportunity to speak to you. Thanks, Madam Speaker, for allowing us to be here in this beautiful chamber, I think so appropriate for this memorial. And thanks to the Taylor family for letting us have it here as well. This is the perfect room for a tribute to Mary Gay. How many hours did she spend here, riveted by stated meetings, entertained by land use committee hearings? Likely never dreaming that one day she would be the subject of the remarks made here. Up on that wall is likely the most valuable portrait in City Hall. It's Lafayette by Samuel Finley Breeze Morris, who, as you know, was an artist, but also the inventor of the telegraph and, yes, the Morse code. His invention preceded the telephone, which many believe was invented for Mary Gay Taylor. At least she seemed to believe that. It was her primary tool, some would say her primary weapon. Heaven help anybody who did not rapidly return her phone calls, yours truly included. Using the phone, Mary Gay was an inveterate fact checker. She would double check absolutely everything. She was thorough, ethical, dedicated, and competitive. In fact, one of our WCBS anchors, Wayne Cabot, tells the story that he was, in earlier days, a part-time reporter for another all news radio station, 1010 Winds. He was sent here to City Hall to cover some arcane, incredibly complicated budget story and had no idea of what to do, so he politely approached Mary Gay Taylor and asked her for help. She said no. One of Mary Gay's most luminous moments as a reporter came on one of New York City's darkest days. On 9/11, she was one of the reporters closest to the scene. She was in the lobby of the Millennium Hotel when everyone was told to evacuate. She ran out the door, looked up, and saw the South Tower beginning to collapse above her. She ran around the corner, dove under an NYPD ESU truck as the building thundered to the ground. In the blink of an eye, what had been broad daylight became pitch darkness as dust and chunks of concrete blew down her throat. At first, she thought she had died. And then she thought she was blind. But finally, she spotted a shaft of light in the darkness. It was the flashlight of a police lieutenant. He led her out and would not allow her to go back under the truck to get her tape recorder. Coated with white dust, Mary Gay walked back here to City Hall, sat down at the microphone downstairs, and told her amazing story on the air. By the way, 4 days later, a New York City firefighter walked into WCBS and put Mary Gay's tape recorder on a desk, turned around without a word, and walked out again. Mary Gay reveled in being fussy. She was a fussy person, fussy and particular. I remember driving her uptown one night. We were both starving. So I said, I know a great place. I think it was called Taco Cheapo. They had tacos for $1, or maybe it was two for a dollar, served on paper plates which graced plastic tabletops. Mary Gay was not amused. She was not entertained. She held the food literally at arm's length in a pose of utter disdain. Now, it's not every day that you meet somebody who admits being a WASP. Mary Gay was proud of being a WASP. Okay, she was a liberal WASP, but a WASP she was. And one day at an Inner Circle rehearsal, Mary Gay was directed that in the scene she was about to play, she should, pardon the phrase, wiggle her ass. She replied with comical indignation, "WASPs don't wiggle their asses." While she could say no and could be a tough reporter, Mary Gay was generous to a fault. She had soft blue eyes and, at the drop of a hat, would be the sweetest person on earth. One night, I kept trying to sell her on the idea of having a bite to eat. This seems to be a repeated theme here. She would normally go along just to shut me up, but this one evening, she kept refusing. Until exasperated at my ridiculous persistence, she at long last explained that she was taking a meal to a neighborhood woman who was battling cancer. When my mother was diagnosed with bladder cancer, Mary Gay drove to West Hartford to give her a cancer survivor's perspective. This woman, my mother, had listened for years on the radio to Mary Gay Taylor and had never previously met her, and suddenly Mary Gay was sitting in my mom's living room giving her a gift of hope. Mary Gay never complained about the battle that she was waging. We, her colleagues, never knew of what must have been her physical and mental anguish at cancer's return. She worked right through 2002, giving no hint that she had suffered a relapse. In retrospect, her bravery was remarkable, her will to continue, amazing. Mary Gay always gave of her substance. In fact, the smiling likeness of her on the card handed out here today is cropped from a photo, which, if you saw its entirety, showed her seated among a few gift-wrapped boxes. Was she wrapping or unwrapping? Did she agree with St. Francis that it's better to give than to receive, or did she think St. Francis was confused? I like to think that she was wrapping gifts, always giving more than she received, always thinking, to whom may I give a gift? She died as she lived, with courage and class, a true gift and an inspiration to us all. Thank you.